come on, Curdy, let's get flirty. Yeah.
I love that.
I do too. I even made merch of it because I loved it so much. And I bought the merch of it. So I own that shirt now and I'm loving it.
Yes, absolutely. That is the Kurt way. Listen, now that he is being more flirty in a certain book, you know, it makes sense. Especially now that Barbie has been out for a while. There has to be the Kurt Barbie merch.
I totally agree. I think that we need more Kurtz in Barbie land and everything. But before we get into all that, hey guys, welcome to Simply Amazing. I am Lisa, aka the OG Nocturne, and we've been gone a while, right, Lauren?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about Lisa. I mean, I kind of do, but I know I have been literally stuck in limbo and like, Amanda Sefton wasn't there to get me out, and Ileana Rasputina didn't come get me out. So I've literally just been stuck in limbo, guys.
Limbo is the best way to put my life right now, too. It is such a great word. I actually emailed my boss the same thing, so I'm like, I'm in limbo. So, we've both been going through a whole lot of shit. And unfortunately, talking about Nightcrawler had to take a back seat. So,
yeah. I was thinking about earlier, I was like, look, listen, if I can't love Kurt to the fullest right now, like, not that I stopped loving him, that's not what it means, but like, if I have so much other stuff going on in my world that I can't love Kurt to the fullest and help shine his positivity and greatness to the fullest extent, then I feel like maybe I shouldn't. And I'm not saying I'm back to my full self, yeah, I'm not. And it's just like, I feel like I can have the energy to do it, because this podcast has energy and we need to have it to give to you all. So
yeah. We need positivity in our lives, both of us, I think. And you know what? I think Kurt would be okay with us taking time for ourselves, for our mental health and for our well-being. I think he would be like totally behind that. He'd be like, yes, Ja, take a time, take a day.
Ja, God, I'm sorry. That's got to be an episode one day where I talk about how the whole German accent with Kurt, I've actually never been a fan of. But anyways, that's getting ahead of ourselves. We're here to talk about Barbie.
Okay, first of all, I'm now like, I really want to talk about that with you. But yes, no, we're here to talk about Barbie. So all of you who are like, yay, the Nightcrawler podcast is back. We're going to hear about Nightcrawler. Guess what? We're not talking about Nightcrawler this week. We're talking about Barbie.
Yeah, we said we'd talk about it. And we figured even though it's been a while, we're keeping our word. And we really want to talk about it. And again, we can connect Kurt to this. That's all that is required, is if we can make it connect to Kurt in some way, it's done. It's happening.
Let's be real. Kurt, I'm going to connect it right now. Barbie, the original origin of Barbie was, and they go over it in the movie like very briefly, but you know, Ruth Handler was actually traveling in Europe and found this doll that was like a fashion doll called the Build Lily, which was most really made for adults. It was more of an adult doll based on like a Betty Boop-esque comic at the time. And she saw it and she was like, my kid would play with that. And so she brought it back from Germany and, you know, created Barbie. And if you actually look up Build Lily and to see, you know, what she looked like, she looked identical to the Barbie that was launched in 1959. So Ruth girl, we see you. We see you. Copyright was a little different back then.
But see, Germany and Kurt's German. So there you go. Ta-da, connected.
Yeah, done. Done and done. It's amazing how many things are German when you actually start looking into it. It's bizarre to me. Like every once in a while, I'm like, oh, this is from Germany too? Oh, okay.
It's kind of creepy, but that's a whole other can of worms.
Let's talk about Barbie, guys. I don't know about you, Lauren, but this movie was like a religious experience for me. I loved every second of it. I was crying from the first moment until the very end. And I think for me that the thing that really struck me about this movie was it was so freaking smart. It was so intelligent. Yes. It was, and so I was a kid who grew up with Barbies. If you follow me on Twitter, you've seen my Barbie collection that I've been posting. I've got hundreds of Barbies. Some of them are still in my parents. Literally, my father has been looking in the attic to see where they are because I know there are a couple missing. So my dad's been like scouring the attic trying to find my Barbies that are missing. actually, I'm visiting my parents this week, and he had a whole like two boxes of Barbie stuff, not Barbies, but like Barbie stuff for me to take back with me back home. So I'm excited about that. So yeah, I'm really deep into the Barbie lore. I was a big fan of Barbie growing up. I played with Barbies, and just every down to like the last detail, it was perfection. I mean, everything about it was just stunningly perfect and just really well done.
I really liked where you said it was very smart, because of all the praise I have this film, which is a ton as well. I remember when I first saw it, because, you know, I saw it after it started getting praise already. So I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, now my expectations are higher, which I don't like going into a film with high expectations, because then I'm worried that I'm ruining it for myself. Like, what if I ruin it and I don't enjoy it, even though it's still good, because, you know, I've thought that high. But during the whole film, it shocked me how fantastic the script was. And I'm not the kind of like, I'm not a cinephile or anything like that. Like, I'm not nitpicky about films in that way to notice scripts a lot. But that was the biggest thing I noticed with Barbie, because the first time I watched it, by the end, what I was thinking when the credits started rolling, on top of like the feeling, the up and down between the happy ending and then the kind of sad you get at the same time, is like, that was one of the most clever scripts I've ever heard in my life. I cannot believe how intelligent of a script that was. And I think I was just so shocked by it too, because it's not that I expected Barbie to be bad. I wanted it to be good. I heard so much praise. I expected it to be good. Unfortunately, I didn't expect it to have a very strong or clever script. And I can't think of the last time a script of a movie other than Barbie blew my mind personally, where I said, wow, that script alone was pure genius. Because I'm still a general audience viewer in general. So I'm still like, you know, oh my God, that was so fun to watch. Oh, wow. And people were like, but this thing wasn't good. But man, it was just, that hit hard when you said that.
No, totally. I agree. The script was amazing, but I want to, it was such a team effort, because what I think, when I look at that movie, when I watch that movie, you can tell every single person in that movie is 100% committed and having an amazing time with everything they're doing. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Ryan Gosling should get an Oscar for playing Ken. He was so good at that dumb, blonde, patriarchal, like, okay, so spoiler alert, the Kens are the villain of the movie, which I had no idea going in. I really knew nothing about the Barbie movie going in, except that it was about Barbie, because it came out when I was on a cruise, and then I got off the cruise and was in the hospital for a bit. And so, like, by the time I actually saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, it just blew my mind, because I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea Ken was going to be as important a character as he was, because, like, I mean, Ken, the joke that America Ferrera's character, I think her name's Gloria, her character makes is like, oh, I never had a Ken, don't tell me. I mean, when I was growing up, I had so many Barbies. Do you know how many Kens I had? I think I had one Ken. I might have gotten a second Ken when my sister was old enough to play with Barbies, and it was her Ken. But, like, that's kind of how it was. Like, you had tons of Barbies. You had Skippers. You had Midges. You had Kira. You had Christy. You had all the Teresa, all the different characters. But, you know, maybe one Ken. And, like, I appreciated, like, the story. It was kind of, you know, about Ken finding his place, you know, in a world without Barbie, or what does Ken mean without Barbie? But, you know, the fact of the matter is, here in the real world, Ken is meaningless without Barbie, right? Like, there's no Ken, just like they say in the movie, there's no Ken dream house. There's no Ken car. There's none of that stuff. It's all Barbies. But I just thought the way that they kind of brought light to that, and the way that they brought light to that, and the way that the Kens reacted, and the way the Kens were treated, just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack in all of that. Like, I mean, you could take a very long time actually thoroughly dissecting just that topic alone. That's not even everything in the film by any measure. That's a very small piece of it. But I completely agree. In my opinion, I really liked seeing that the film was so smart too. The script was smart. Everything about it was smart. The way the actors played it. And it seemed like the men playing the Kens got it too, which I personally really loved. And that sold it. If the men playing those Kens did not understand and get what they were playing and what was happening, like what they were, the story they were telling, it wouldn't have sold to all audiences to make $1 billion, including a shit ton of men. Men enjoyed Barbie. That's the thing too. it wasn't just women and non-binary people or otherwise. Men enjoyed it too. And one thing I really appreciate about the film is, well, maybe $1 billion, so that's plenty, but all the men that matter for the most part enjoyed it and that saw it. And it's just so fascinating to me because, you know, there are ways where like people took some of the stuff with the Kens and their story and they're like, oh my God, this attacks men and this says it hates men and all that. But like every other man that saw it got the message of, no, this movie is not saying they hate men. Because at the end of the day, even though you said, like in terms of storytelling wise for writing a script for a film, you're technically right. They're the antagonists or the villains. But in reality, they actually weren't villains because of the, I mean, they kind of were, they were antagonists. But at the end of the day, the Barbies didn't have any goal to, you know, lock them up in prison or do any consequence other than getting back just what they had before. You know, I mean, that was their goal. And then they just kept the Kens there. And the way the script was written and the actors, the men that played those parts delivered that, it seemed like, you know, even men that saw the film got that because, and it also gets Lil Messenger head. One thing I noticed at that with the Kens at the end, spoiler alert, is at the end of the film, when the Barbies get back Barbie land and they basically take over again, the Kens are like, can we have a vote? And they literally tell them, no, you can't have a vote, which should be alarming to people, like especially men, like, oh my God, the Barbies won't give it back. They're dictators now. But they still say, hey, but you can, you know, have a seat on the Supreme Court. Sure, we'll start there. And the crazy part is after that film, like the same men that saw the film, that enjoyed it, they didn't look at that part of the film and go, oh my God, the Barbies are dictators over the men now. They understood the message of, oh, it's not even about gender. It's about treating people correctly. It's not even about equality. Like they didn't, men seeing that film that still enjoyed it, they didn't walk out of the film going, oh, the men are lesser than the women. They understood, like it just, that blew my mind. I was like, that's so clever because that's so hard to get across in terms of writing, delivery, all of it. And somehow this film did that. And I just think that is so freaking cool. And it really helps us women and non-binary, feminine dressing, what's the word? Not portraying, but presenting individuals. Like
presenting.
Yeah. It's like, it really kind of helps us continue to try to get the message to like men and allies and things like that of, hey, again, the equality is changing over time because again, equality looks different when you're somebody that has empathy for others and your leadership and things like that. Like the Barbies had that. When the Kens were in charge, they weren't being empathetic to the Barbies or anything like that. And even at the end of the film, Barbie still learned her lesson of, hey, the Ken has feelings. I need to apologize, which she did, even though he never apologized for the shit he did. She apologized and took the hit. And he said, okay, thanks. Which I don't know if anybody here has ever argued with a man before. I know not all men, whatever, but if you've ever argued with a man before and then you finally just do something like that scene film, you just apologize, even though they also owe you an apology, or maybe you don't even feel like you really owe one, but you're going to do it because it'll help them. And they have that exact reaction like, wow, okay, thanks. And it was so real. So sorry for the long rant. I didn't mean to, but all of that just blew my mind, and you're completely right. I hate focusing so much on talking about the Kens of the film, but they are so important to deliver the messages that they're trying to tell for the Barbies, for us women in reality and things like that. Like there's just so much.
I mean, without the Kens, there wouldn't be a movie, right? And, you know, I want to, like, let's talk about the Ken battle for a second. Spoiler alert again. But, okay, enough of the spoiler alerts. This movie came out in July. If you haven't seen it and you're listening to this and you, like, I don't know what you're talking to tell you. So no more.
It's on digital. Just watch it.
It's on digital. I've seen it, like, 3 times since it came out on digital. I swear to God, I've seen this movie 5 times already. I just love it so much. The Ken battle was another piece of, like, just cinematic, like, chef's kiss. Just absolutely gorgeous. Beautifully shot. Very clearly playing on old war tropes, yes. Like storming the beaches of Normandy, like Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, all of those things. You can really see that. But the thing I really want to point out is before they go to war with the Kens, they talk about what will we fight with? And he's like lacrosse sticks and tennis rackets and blah, blah, blah. And when you think about it, that's all Barbie has. Barbie doesn't have swords. Barbie doesn't have knives. Barbie has butter knives, but Barbie doesn't have weapons. Barbie doesn't have a gun. I mean, there might be a hunt, like there might be some Barbie out there somewhere, but like really when it comes down to it in Barbie world is not, doesn't have weapons because there's no conflict to need weapons. So now that right. they have a conflict, they have to fight with what they've got, which is just pink tennis rackets and golf clubs and stupid stuff. And I thought that was such a brilliant a little detail. You know, that's one little brilliant detail. Alan was a great detail. Alan was, I mean, perfectly played. And I want to point out the whole there's only one Alan, because I thought that was very smart too. So Ken has come in many different shapes, sizes, and colors. You know, just same as Barbie. I mean, there were different Barbie. There were different, like, you know, ethnic Barbies that came out over the years that had different names. But you could still find like a black Barbie or an Asian Barbie or something like that. Like, for example, even Midge has more than one. Like, I personally own the pregnant Midge, and I own both the white one and the African American one. So. Mm-hmm. Like, they would always kind of, they tried to be very inclusive with all that kind of stuff. The thing is, Alan kind of fell out of favor with Barbie by, like, the 1980s, way before they, like, this was before really the inclusivity started coming in really hard. So that's why there's only one Alan, because there is no black Alan or Asian Alan or, you know, who knows Alan. Like, there's no other Alans. It's just him. It's just the one guy. And I thought that was such a funny little detail. And okay, the other thing about Alan that they don't go into, which I thought was kind of interesting, was Alan is the guy who got Midge pregnant. Mm-hmm. Alan is Midge's boyfriend. Not just Midge's boyfriend, Alan is also Midge's husband. I have the whole Midge getting married to Alan set. So they got married in the 80s, and then she got knocked up in the early 2000s. So yeah, I don't know why they never mentioned that Alan and Midge were together and that that's her baby daddy. But, you know, although the funny story behind the Midge situation is I remember the uproar that happened because I went to the store immediately. This was like kind of after I was really collecting Barbies wholeheartedly. And I had to, like, once that whole thing happened and they were like recalling her because she was pregnant and everybody got mad about it, I went out, I had to buy two of them because I was like, this is going to be a collector's item. And, you know, I mean, it's not really worth that much, but I got them. So I love it. The other detail I really want to talk about is what I thought was fascinating and amazing was they were not shy about talking about Barbie's issues, like the issues with Barbie. They were not shy about talking about, like, you know, body issues and what Barbie represents and what Barbie has represented. And that was, so I remember back in like the 90s, there started to become a backlash against Barbie because of how unattainable her body type was. Like, you can Google it and there are, you know, people have made like, you know, done mockups of what an actual woman would look like if they had Barbie's measurements. And Barbie's measurements have never been attainable to any person. So there was this backlash in the 90s, like, this is teaching children bad things. This is teaching them, you know, about, you know, the wrong stuff. And then they came out with a new line of Barbies that had, it was called the, I'm just looking this up really quickly because I looked it up and I had, okay, it was the Barbie Fashionista line came out with a new line of, a new type of Barbie. So there was a curvy Barbie and there was a petite Barbie, there was a tall Barbie. And, you know, to kind of be more inclusive, but even still, if you look at these Barbies, they're not, you know, they're still pretty skinny. They're still pretty conventionally attractive. So, but the thing about Barbie is that Barbie is always driven towards inclusivity, even if they're not if she's not perfect in how it's been attained. Because I have, you know, there's Barbie in a wheelchair. There's, you know, there's so many different Barbies. You can get Barbies with crutches. You can get, it just, there's just so many of them. They even have now Barbies with vitiligo and, you know, different skin tones. So they really strive for the inclusivity, even if it's not perfect, but they do their best to try and kind of have a Barbie that will represent everybody. I mean, it's, you know, not always going to find every single Barbie, but there's someone who looks like you. There's a Barbie out there who looks like each one of us. And there's a Barbie out there who does something for who does what we do. I have not found podcasting Barbie yet, but I think that that's coming next.
Probably. No, I agree. Yeah. And I appreciate that. Like, one of the first things or one of the earlier things I found my notes specifically is, like, during the big dance scene, you've got a wheelchair Barbie, like, dancing in a wheelchair. And I especially love seeing that because I think, unfortunately, we as a general public, we have, especially those of us that are not physically disabled in such a way, we have this subconscious mindset that, you know, oh, well, somebody's in a wheelchair, they can't dance. They can't do anything. And that might be the case for some people in wheelchairs, but that's not all people in wheelchairs. A lot of them can still move their arms and things like that. So like to see somebody in a wheelchair, not only just being there, but seeing somebody being active while they're still in a wheelchair and enjoying life and doesn't look like it's the end of the world for them. I thought that was really, really cool.
And the first wheelchair Barbie was Becky. She was the yearbook photographer for one of Barbie's high school friends. Yes.
I love that.
So yeah, it's very cute.
Yeah. So I thought that was really, really cool. I don't remember where I was going with this when I started. I got stuck on that.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. There was something else you said that piqued my interest, but I don't remember what it is. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay. We're having our day, right? We're just getting back into this, so it's all good. The other point I wanted to make with Barbie is just, oh, no. See, now I lost my train of thought. What is going on with the two of us? Oh, I remember now. I remember. So at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, Gloria's character at the end of the movie, she talks about, like, you know, all these different Barbies, thoughts of death Barbie and mom Barbie. And I just want to point out one little thing. Barbie was never intended to be a mother. And Barbie was never intended to like actually get married. That's why if you ever look at any bride Barbie that exists, it's always dream bride or fantasy bride. Because Barbie doesn't get married. Barbie is a single woman. Barbie has like 1,000 careers. The idea they mention it in the very beginning of the movie. The idea was to break away from this like patriarchal idea that all women must be married and must get married and must have children, to create this doll that was, you know, nothing, was never going to be that, was never going to be a mother and never going to be a wife. And that's why I like the younger characters that get introduced, like Skipper is her sister. And then she has a sister, Chelsea, and she has her sister, Stacy, and she has her sister. I think the baby's name is Chrissy. But yeah, there's all these different characters, but they're her sisters. They're not her children. And granted, let me tell you, most of us, when we play with Barbies, yeah, we'll play mother eventually, right? I mean, it's going to happen, but that's up to the person who's playing with them. And this brings me to another point that I thought was really, really amazing. And I've seen a lot of criticism of this in Reddit, and I disagree with the criticism. The criticism I've seen is that Barbie has no agency. Barbie doesn't have a lot of agency throughout the movie, and it doesn't seem like she gives up. When the Kens take over, she just goes and lays on the ground and is like, I give up. I'm done, right? I don't know what to do. I'm just going to lay here and whatever. Now, a lot of people were like, well, why can't Barbie fight? Why can't Barbie do this? Why can't Barbie do that? The reason is because Barbie doesn't exist without the person who's playing with her. So it was, that's why Gloria is the one who saves the day. That's why she and her daughter are the ones who actually bring, like, who help come up with a plan and bring the Barbies back. Because without the person, Barbie is just a doll until you pick her up and you do something with her and you create something with her. And I thought that was so, so brilliantly done and depicted. And I think, I mean, I don't want to say people missed the point there, but I think that point was missed in that it was intentional. It wasn't supposed to be like she's just going to give up and then become the hero. It was intentional that she literally can't do anything until Gloria makes a decision, until Gloria decides to do something. And then, of course, the inclusion of the Indigo Girls closer to Fine was just so great. Just so great. Like, I love that was a song that got them to the real world. We could do a whole other podcast on the music of the soundtrack to Barbie, because I don't know if you guys have listened closely to the Dua Lipa song, but the Dua Lipa song, if you listen to the words basically say, like, even if I'm crying, even if I'm, you know, my life is falling apart, I'm still going to dance, which that whole scene is Barbie dancing. And then suddenly she's like, well, don't you guys ever think about death? And yeah, it's just incredible. All right. I'm just gonna be straight with you guys. Something happened. And we got cut off and we lost like 6 minutes of recording. So we're just going to continue from wherever, because I don't remember what we were talking about 6 minutes ago. It was probably about Alan, but I literally can't remember what I did say and didn't say that's already been recorded. So you know what? Let's just move on and we can talk about something else. All right. We're going to move on to talking about how we're going to relate this back to Kurt in another way. So I found a What Barbie Are You quiz, which I thought was really cute. And in that quiz, we discussed
It like, you know, you take a quiz, it tells you what Barbie you are. And I personally got Barbie for me. Who did you get for you, Lauren?
I got Gloria.
Okay, that's cute. I can see that. I can see you rocking that.
Wait, we should read what it says about us, though.
Okay. Well, for me, it says, your personality matches Barbie. You're kind, supportive, and beautiful inside and out. Like Barbie, you see the good and optimistic sides of things and always want the best for people you love. You brighten every single room you walk into and people absolutely adore you. Okay, I don't believe half of that. And also, brightening every single room I walk into, I listen to way too much true crime to feel comfortable with that, because every single person who gets killed, murdered, or something, they brighten the room. So
fair. But you know who that does sound like? And so we took the quiz twice each, both of us. We took it once for ourselves, and then we took...
You gotta read Gloria.
Oh, fine. I wanted to connect it, but fine. We can do Gloria now. You're empathetic. You're empathetic, wise, and a total kid at heart. Like Gloria, you're a realist and people admire your honesty. While the real world might not always be what it's cracked up to be, you just know that people love and appreciate you. You're truly one of a kind. I want to say that's actually pretty on the nose, but I also am worried I'll sound egotistic, particularly with that last line. But that feels pretty on the nose to what I hear from my friends and stuff. So
I would agree with that. So who did you get for Kurt? I'm going to guess I know who you got for Kurt.
Yes, because so Lisa's like, I don't think I'm Barbie. This doesn't fit me. But you know who that does fit? Kurt. Because guess who I got for Kurt? Barbie. Because let's read it again, but think about Kurt this time. You're kind, supportive, and beautiful inside and out. Like Barbie, you like to see the good, optimistic side of things. Kurt is very much like that. And you always want the best for people you love. 1000% Kurt. You brighten every single room you walk into. Obviously, Kurt. And people absolutely adore you. 1000,000,000% Kurt. So, now Lisa, I know you're like, that doesn't fit me. But let me just tell you this. You got the result that matches what I got for Kurt. So, in my head, that means you're the most like Kurt, which means you're the best of us and why you're the flagship of this podcast. You're welcome,
oh, everyone. Shush. Stop it. I mean, that is the sweetest thing you ever said in life. Thank you so much.
It's true. You're welcome.
Let me tell you, I've been going through a lot these past couple months. So, I also got Barbie for Kurt.
See, look, see, Lisa. So you just have to realize your full Kurt Barbie potential. It's there.
Okay, fair enough.
It is all there. You just have to believe it and embrace it in yourself.
Fair enough. I totally agree. I want to ask you, like, I wonder how many of these things we answered the same way for Kurt, because I'm super curious. What's a quality you look for in a friend? What did you say for Kurt?
I was torn between two. I was torn between kindness and empathy, but I picked kindness.
See, I put sense of adventure.
Yeah, that was the third option. Absolutely.
Yeah. So pick a color to paint your dream house. What did you pick for Kurt?
I mean, I picked blue. Duh.
No, same thing. Blue. Exactly. So what about Barbie? Tonight's girls' night. Pick a Barbie to co-host your slumber party. Who did you pick?
Mermaid Barbie. She looks like his kind of gal 1,000,000%. Dua Lipa can come to my house, too.
See, I picked Mermaid Barbie for me because I'm obsessed with mermaids, but I picked Author Barbie for Kurt. And the only reason I did was because, like, Kurt loves fantasy and he loves pirates and he loves all that stuff. And, like, of all of these characters here, like, Author Barbie would probably have some good stories to tell.
That was my second choice. I almost picked that, but I said I'm going Mermaid, which is what I picked for myself as well, honestly.
Now, pick a movie to watch with all your best friends. What did you pick for Kurt?
I picked The Notebook because he is a straightforward, cliche cheeseball. But I think Wizard of Oz would have been a great choice.
I chose The Wizard of Oz. I think The Notebook is a good choice too. But I chose personally The Wizard of Oz because, number one, we know canonically he really likes old movies because he's really into Errol Flynn and all that stuff. And I think the whole story of someone like trying to find their home and finding out that they had it in them all the whole time, and you know, the story with the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow, I think he relates a lot to all that.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. Absolutely. I think those are definitely the top two options out of everything there.
For sure. What about choose a song to belt out at karaoke? What did you pick for Kurt?
Sorry, I remember how to scroll. I picked Levitating by Dua Lipa. This was probably the hardest question to me. I was like, damn, I have to think about, like, what song he would most like, and then which one he had the most fun belting out to. But like Levitating by Dua Lipa, I thought that was like it was probably a safe choice. It wasn't a bold choice. It was a safe choice.
It was a good choice because I chose the exact same thing.
We're so smart. I love how you're like, it's a good choice because I chose it too.
Basically, yeah. No, I chose the same one. And the reason I chose it was because there's like a scene from, there's a scene from Claremont X-Men back in like the mid, early mid to 2000s, where Kurt and Naruto are all dressed up in like their finest, like she's in a ball gown and he's in a tuxedo, and they are dancing. And then suddenly she like makes them like dance and like they're dancing in the sky, like levitating. And I don't know why every time I hear Dua Lipa, I always think of that scene. So, or that specific song, I think of that scene. So that's why I chose that one. So that's more of a personal reason I chose it. But choose the inspiration for another iconic toy themed movie. What did you pick?
For that one, I picked this one. I really didn't think. I was just like, fuck it. I picked Barrel Monkeys. I stand by it.
I picked it too.
Oh, we're so good.
I picked it too. I mean, listen, monkeys kind of have a prehensile tail, just like Kurt. And, you know, Kurt jumps around a lot. So, you know, he's a monkey. Like, he, you know, he's got monkey qualities, even though, you know, I don't think he's very animalistic. And finally, choose something from Barbie. What did you choose for Kurt from Barbie?
I feel like there were multiple good choices, but I chose the Ken War. I felt like that was just Kurt incarnate there, so.
I chose it too. I chose the Ken War too. I chose it because it was like, Kurt is never going to, he's never going to shy away from a battle. Like if he's walking down the street and he sees a fight and he's like, I'm in, let's do this. You know what I mean? Get my swords out and let's go for it. So yeah, I love it. Perfect choices. Perfect. I thought of one thing that I think got missed when we had our little snafu that I wanted to bring up, which was about, Barbie and body types. Did we talk? I don't know if this made it into it or not. I don't remember. But
I don't think we talked about that too much.
Well, we talked about it a little bit, but it was part of the, it might've been part of the part that got cut out. If it wasn't, then we'll leave it in. If it was, then we'll cut it out. But basically, you know, they were really good about, you know, pointing out the, you know, the pitfalls of Barbie and what Barbie was and, you know, how Barbie has not historically always been good. Just give me one second to, because I do think this made it in. Now I'm wondering if it was the part about Barbie being a mother that didn't make it in. Point what Gloria makes at the end of the movie about, you know, Barbie kind of like being more realistic and a mother and all that stuff. Well, like that, the thing is, Barbie was never intended to be a mother. Barbie was always intended to be like a single chick. She's never intended to be married, a mother, any of that stuff. And that's why when you look at, you know, bride Barbies, it's always dream bride or fantasy bride. You know, it's not because it's not supposed to be real. She never ever gets married. All of the younger characters are her sisters because the idea was, like they mentioned in the beginning of the movie, like, you know, it was something different, something that, you know, so when girls could dream to be something more than just a mother and a wife, they could dream to be literally anything. I mean, there are thousands of careers that Barbie has. I even have paleontologist Barbie. I mean, the amount of Barbies that they've created with these different careers is astounding. And it shows girls that you really can be anything. But there were pitfalls because of, you know, the body image and all that kind of stuff we talked about. But this has been a really interesting recording just because of all the little crazy things that have happened. It's been storming outside my window. My nieces are visiting my parents and I'm visiting them as well. So it's like a lot going on here. But thanks for those of you who listened all the way to this.
Right? Yeah, it's challenging when you get so into recording and you talk, and you guys that listen to this like regularly when we're not dying, you guys know how into it we get. So it's hard to keep track of like, crud, what do we talk about next? So we do the best we can, but
we're doing our
it's always fun.
We're doing our best and it's all we're going to do. It's the best that we're going to do and it's all we got. So anyway, thanks guys for joining us and listening to us talk about Barbie. We will get back to talking about Kurt more in the future. We definitely are going to be covering Uncanny Spider-Man because we both read it. And yes, we're going to be, and we got some other fun stuff that we have planned to talk about. Listen guys, our lives are still kind of crazy. So are we going to do the weekly? I don't know, but we're going to do our best to try and get stuff out when we can get it out for you. So, and it's not like that's much is happening in the comics with Kurt. He's just Spider-Man, which I'm down for. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun, but we'll talk about that. And yeah, in terms of like how often and consistent episodes come out, I don't want to make any promises yet because we got to get back in the flow of things and, you know, but we're going to do our best to record as much as we can. And honestly, any feedback you guys have, like if you guys miss us, you want to hear more, if you guys want us to talk about something, let us know. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Twitter still. Let us know because, you know, the more, if there's more encouragement that we know about, then I know I'm definitely personally more motivated, because I'm like, oh my God, you guys really want it. Like, I need to get off my ass. So not that you have to do that, but if you guys do want to give encouragement or you really want something from us, you want us to record something, let us know. Gives us a little more motivation to get out there to you.
Perfect. Love it, love it, love it. And yeah, if you're listening and you haven't yet followed us, please follow us on everything. Like Lauren said, we're on Twitter, we're on Blue Sky, we're on like all of them now. Instagram, I mean, I don't know, Facebook, whatever. We're there. Well, you can find us. You can also find us at simplyamazingpod.com. That's our website that I need to update a little bit more because I haven't updated it in a long time. But we'll get back into it. We'll get back into the swing of things. And yeah, give us a review if you like this. If you listen to this whole thing and we're like, wow, they're fantastic, we think you're amazing, because this was a crazy episode. So please give us a review and tell us how you love us, or you can tell us that you don't like us and give us a 1-star review. I don't really care. I just like reading about myself. So
Barbie,
I'm not going to try. Come on, Barbie. Let's go party. You know, funny story. The reason that wasn't in the movie was because Aqua never really had rights to sing about Barbie. And there was a whole like thing about it.
Yeah, there was a lawsuit. Yeah, Mattel sued and didn't quite win. And yeah.
Yeah.
But they still, well, funny enough, though, like even though that happened, they still did that song with Nicki and Ice Spice, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aqua was on it and they kind of sampled it. I'm like, I'm surprised Mattel even allowed that, because they really like, they got to still be bitter as hell about that lawsuit that they did not win.
I mean, totally. I agree. Well, if you're out there and you love Barbie just as much as us, just tell us and we want to hear about it. Tell us what you thought about the movie. And all, or if you're like, bitches, why are you talking about this? It's about, this is a Kurt podcast. Well, you know, listen to something else. I don't know what to tell you. But if you are out there enjoying yourself in your dream house with your dream man, just remember that you are simply amazing.